Blog Talk Radio.
Philadelphia by the final score 7-3. So thank God the Phillies can't clinch home field, you know, against the Mets, the division, you know, against the Mets tonight. So now they're gonna have to wait until tomorrow against in Washington D.C. to clinch, because last time I checked it, the Braves were getting their butt kicked by the Nationals 4-2, and I'm going to check out that final score in a couple of seconds to find out. But the only thing Phillies could do is clinch a playoff berth. So last time I left it was 4-2, Nationals with, you know, Leivan Hernandez beating up on the Braves. But I'm going to check out that final score to confirm whether or not Braves did, in fact, lose. But,
well, you know, the Phillies don't really have anything to worry about because, you know, they're already going to make the playoffs. They're going to clinch the division.
Oh, yeah, they're going to clinch it most likely tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they would have clinched it tonight if they – today if – they would have clinched it yesterday if Mets didn't win – what was it? I'm trying to think of the score. 5-2 on Saturday, you know, today they lost again. The Phillies lost these last two games.
Yeah.
Had they won either one of those games, they would have clinched home field.
Are Phillies resting their regulars or something?
No, they. I mean, this season they've been pretty much hurt. Jimmy Rollins, he missed most of the season, the series, until he got that last at bat in the eighth inning with two outs to try to, you know, tie the game up with a, you know, with a potential two-run home run.
Oh.
He grounded out weakly to end the Phillies' threat. And Mets would hold on to the 5-3 lead, 5-3 final. Pat Mish, he pitched you know, good at first. Gave the first hit in the third. The only damage the Phillies really did was the three-run home run off Pat Mish to prevent him from winning the game, because after he gave the three-run home run to Utley, 16th of the year, Jerry Manuel pulled him out with one out away in the fifth. So he Pat Mish was one out away from earning the win. But just like Cole Hamill pitched four-plus innings. He gave up five runs. He gave up a home run after he gave up the leadoff home run in the fifth to Carlos Beltran. Charlie Manuel took Cole Hamill's right out of the game. And Cole Hamill pretty much didn't have it tonight. Well, actually, earlier today, I should say. Because, he gave the home run to Wright. And then they rallied in the, I believe it was the third inning when they, Nick Evans knocked in a two-run base hit, double. Mm-hmm. And Reyes could have scored the third run, but he got thrown out.
Reyes.
Victorino, you know. To prevent what would have been the fifth run, but then later on in the fifth, leading off in the fifth, Beltran hit his first of two home runs, because in the ninth, Beltran would hit his second home run of the ninth and his seventh of the year.
Right.
In the ninth inning. So this was clearly Beltran's best game of the year, as Beltran was starting to hit. And made some, you know, nice defensive plays, including the diving catch to rob the Phillies of a potential run scoring double.
Yeah, when I was watching the Giant game, which the Giants unfortunately lost.
Yeah,
I think it was during the 29-10 or something, 29-13. I forgot the score, but during the game. There's a commercial break. I turned to the Met game to see what's going on. And I did see that diving catch that Beltran made to, you know, stop any potential threat from the Phillies. I mean, they had two outs anyway, so.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have scored anyway. So.
No, they probably would have scored because there was someone on third.
Yeah, but they had two outs. So.
No, if he didn't get to that ball, if he didn't dive and made that ball would have easily scored because it was the guy was on third.
Yeah, yeah, but they probably wouldn't have tied the game. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, they would have been down by 5-4, and they would probably have grounded out on the next player or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, but then again, you said Rollins had a chance to tie it, right?
Yeah, this was in this was later on in the game in the eighth inning.
Oh.
Had Rollins was up. Someone was on second, and Rollins was coming up as a potential tying run. You know, if he went deep.
Oh, okay.
But he weakly ground out to Davis, I believe.
Interesting. But yeah, you guys beat the Phillies. I mean, that's rare these days for the Mets to beat the Phillies.
Well, Mets have done pretty well against the Phillies. I mean, Mets clubbed them at first in City Field to start, you know, their first thing. Mets have played pretty well against the Phillies and Braves. Well, lately, this second half, Braves have done a lot better against the Mets.
Yeah.
But Phillies, Mets have pretty much played them well this season. The problem is that Mets don't get up for the horrible teams like the Marlins and the Nationals, and those are the teams that pretty much have been knocking the Mets out.
Yeah.
You know, especially these last couple of years, those seven.
It looks like the Phillies, they're going to have the home court advantage throughout the National League postseason. So,
it looks that way.
Might go to the World Series again for the third straight year in a row.
Yep. Looks like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because I don't see any other team beating them. I mean, who's going to beat them?
Me either. I don't see anybody. I really Reds? Don't care. Nope.
Come on.
Reds, I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
Give me a
Reds is like those teams that, you know, people pick every year, especially like the Mariners. They pick them to be a good team, and then they always break your heart in the end.
Yeah.
So I don't see it happening. And so they get Luke Pinella out of retirement and manage the team.
No, that's not gonna happen. They're gonna need Ken Griffey Jr. to come out of retirement. Man. Shit.
Yep. Even he couldn't help them win a championship.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't do anything either.
Yeah, they're going to need him and Barry Larkin to come back.
Reds, they've been a surprise team this year, though.
Yep.
Yeah, that little fight last month with the Cardinals. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The team that me and Reds fans could agree, we don't have any love for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
For those Redbirds.
The Reds, they might make the postseason. This will be their first playoff berth since what year? They haven't missed the playoffs in a while.
Oh, Reds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had their shot in '99, but Mets knocked them out in that one game playoff by Al Leiter's best performance as a Met.
Yeah.
That what was it? I think a 5-hit shutout. It was 5-0.
That was the one game playoff you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the one game playoff in '99 to eliminate, to decide who was gonna go into the, to the postseason.
Yeah.
And you know, Mets took care of business with Al Leiter on the mound.
So this will be their first postseason playoff berth in a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. When was the last time they? Maybe 1990, when they won the World Series.
Yeah, it could have been.
Probably that was the last time they went to the postseason.
Yeah.
I can't really think of them in the postseason other than 1999.
And who was managing that team at that time?
Which one, 1990?
Yeah.
Lou Piniella.
Oh, Piniella, right, Piniella, yeah. Yeah, that could have been their last time in the playoffs.
I believe so. Because before that, the division came in, not the division, the wild card came in like 94, well, I think 94, but there was the lockout, so 95 was the official full year.
Yeah.
Of the wild card. I don't think they've gotten other than that.
Yeah.
So 1990, I would assume, would be their last time.
Well, this will definitely be their first division win in a while.
Oh, yeah.
There's still, about 2 weeks left in the baseball season.
Yep, and to confirm it, final score of the Washington Nationals and Braves is 4-2 Nationals, the final.
Yeah, what's wrong with the Braves? Braves, they went from being the division leader to now possibly not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I hope so. That's the best gift to send Bobby Cox and, potentially Chipper Jones if he retires.
Yeah.
And Wagner is most likely going to retire after this year also.
Yeah, and he's had a great year.
Yeah, he's been great for the... For the Braves, I mean, he's had some, blown saves here and there, as all most closers do, except for Brad Lidge,
yeah.
That championship year 2 years ago. You know, it happens.
Because now the Braves are competing with, like, the Rockies and the Giants for that wild card spot.
But that's, you know, baseball.
Yeah.
And your boys are playing, I'm assuming, Sunday night.
Yeah, playing the Red Sox, and Yankees aren't doing real good right these days.
Yeah, they haven't.
Just like the Braves. Well, unlike the Braves, we have a most likely chance of going to the playoffs. But
yeah,
as far as the division, right now, Tampa Bay leads the division by 1.5 game. Yankees have lost 4 in a row, including yesterday, a loss to the Red Sox. When we were out, you know, to see the WWE SmackDown thing, we were at a restaurant, and you told me that Yankees were losing to Red Sox, and, you know, I really didn't care at that point because I was focusing on something else.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they haven't been playing good, man.
Yeah. They definitely haven't been playing good. They lost 2 to the Rays to split the series 2-2.
Yep.
Double digits, I think, like 10-1 and was it 10-3? 10-8. Oh, yeah, well, this Friday's game was 10-8 to the Red Sox,
yeah.
Right, that was Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were losing 10-1, and then you guys kind of rallied to make it a ball game. But
yeah.
Then, with A-Rod hitting 2 home runs, Teixeira hitting 2 home runs also.
Yeah.
And, the Yankee MVP, Pano, struck out.
Yeah.
End the game. And then
yeah.
Yesterday was you guys lost 6-3, I believe.
Yeah, the Yankees, I mean, the offense is inconsistent right now. Pitching, I mean, the pitching has been that bad, but for some reason they pulled out Hughes out of the rotation and put in, I guess they wanted to preserve his arm for the postseason.
Right.
So now tonight in a panic
rules.
Move. Yeah, the use rules, exactly, like the Jabba rules a couple of years ago. So, last year. So, in the panic move, tonight they're going to reinstate use back into the lineup so he can start against the Red Sox, you know, to hopefully stop the bleeding and get us a win tonight. But, hey, if we go, hey, I don't care about the division. If Rays want to win the division, they could win the division. I mean, if we go in as a wild card, that's fine, you know, but we're going to be dangerous still. I mean, you still got CC. We're going to start game 1. Andy Pettit, hopefully he's 100% by then. Hughes. And hopefully Burnett can pitch on his A game in the postseason, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the division is great. I mean, but ultimately, as long as you get in, whether via division or wild card,
yeah.
As long as you have a chance to win a championship, that's all that really, matters.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say Yankees will probably be the most dangerous wild card in the postseason if we go in.
Yeah, I'd say so on paper.
And then we'll play our rivals, Minnesota Twins. Seems like we're playing them every postseason nowadays.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
But this time around, you know, they'll have home court advantage instead of us. So.
Yep, that's a switch. That's kind of like that Undertaker-Kane situation. Usually Undertaker's the dominant brother. And,
yeah.
Kane is the wild card, but now it's the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
By the Friday's episode.
Yeah.
We'll, of course, talk about that a little later.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to SmackDown yesterday.
Yeah, that was cool.
SmackDown World Tour at the Madison Square Garden.
Yep. And I was fortunate to come on your show, IMAC.
Yeah, we did IMAC on the street.
Yep.
Mac on the street. And, we basically focused more on girls than actual show. That was a good start.
It was a good show.
It was cool. Yeah, it was cool, though.
Yep.
And the WWE show is great. I mean, we got some great seats, man.
Yeah, gotta give you props. Thanks for that, man.
No problem. Anytime. But talk about it. Talk about you know, how you what you thought of it.
I know. I was gonna invite. Yeah, why not? I might as well go right into it. You know, went to the there was a SmackDown World Tour yesterday at MSG, and it was you know, it was pretty much a tribute to Bret Hart. His this was Bret Hart's Bret Hart's appreciation night.
Yeah.
And it's been 13 years since Bret Hart been at Madison Square Garden,
mm-hmm.
the world's most famous arena. And you know, they, you know, since Bret Hart's, you know, returned to WWE in January 4th of this year. This was his, of course, his first time going back to the Garden, where he had memorable moments that they highlighted yesterday, the Survivor Series, the WrestleMania 10, a bunch of other moments, you know, that he's been in MSG.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, WWE, I mean, MSG is pretty much the you know, that's the home court of, you know, of that organization. A lot of memorable moments happened there.
Yep.
I mean, you're 1, 10, 20, and in a couple of years, 30. Also, a lot of numerous Survivor Series, Royal Rumbles.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I mean, it was a, it wasn't a major show, but it was, it was still entertaining. You know, they always, you know, bring their, you know, their best stuff. I mean, other than a, you know, a pay-per-view event, they bring it to MSG.
Yep.
And they were showing Bret Hart's highlights. And they had, you know, towards the end of the show, they had, you know, his family, the Hart Dynasty, David Hart Smith, the his nephew, son of the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. They had Tyson and his tag team partner. What was it? I just forgot his name again. The,
Tyson Kidd.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the last guy who trained in Bret Hart's father, Stu Hart's Stu Hart Dungeon, which is what they called, you know, the place where all those great Canadians worked out.
Yep.
Trained to be great wrestlers. So he was the last graduate of that school, that wrestling school. And, of course, his niece, Natalya, the daughter of his former tag team, two-time tag team co-holder, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And JR, I mean, not JR, the King, JR's former partner, in-ring partner, announced partner, was the special guest referee. And to make the night even special, they had Howard Finkel, the legendary in-ring announcer.
Best ring announcer ever.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
He was the host of the ceremony, so... You know, I gave it that extra special nostalgic feeling.
Yep.
And then they even had Bret Hart come into his vintage Bret Hart theme song. So all in all, it, you know, it was a great night. And MSG even presented Bret Hart with an honorary Rangers jersey, number 10, to symbolize. WrestleMania 10, that epic two matches he had in that WrestleMania when he fought his brother Owen, and then he would later fight the sumo wrestler Yokozuna, who was the champion at that time.
Yeah, that's the best WrestleMania ever to me.
Yes, you said that multiple times. Well, that is one of the, like you said, one of the best WrestleManias, or
yep.
Yours in many people's eyes, the best WrestleMania. I've heard about it. I haven't watched that WrestleMania in entirety, So I'm gonna, you know, I'm definitely gonna, you know, check that out.
Well, you've seen some matches from it, you know.
Yeah, like the, you know, the Owen versus Brett.
Yeah.
I definitely saw that. That was a great steel cage match.
Yeah.
Those guys really, I mean, even though they were real life brothers, I mean, they really.
No, no, no. Steel cage match. That was later.
Oh, my fault. I confused that though too. That's when the steel cage match. I didn't see the WrestleMania match.
Yeah, the steel cage match was at SummerSlam later that year.
My fault.
Yeah. The one they had at WrestleMania was just a you know, regular match.
Yeah, and that's the one I saw. I saw the steel cage one. I haven't seen the one on one at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check that out, you know, after I see WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, and of course, the Razor Shawn Michaels match, ladder match.
Right.
Another great match.
Oh yeah, that's a match I definitely saw.
Yeah.
Arguably the best ladder match ever.
Yep.
And you could even put the TLC later on, a decade later, with Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys in that rare class.
Yeah, man, you need to, if I were you, right after the show, you should put in WrestleMania 10. You should have put it in right after you got home last night, man. Seriously.
Yeah, but I'm watching them in order. I'm finishing up.
How are you? I watch WrestleMania 10, go back to WrestleMania 9 after shit. Seriously, man. I mean, come on.
You're convincing me because I was finishing up WrestleMania 3. I was up to the.
You don't have to go in order. You could always go back.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's what I would do. I mean.
I think you twisted my arm. I might check it out.
Okay.
I might check out WrestleMania 10. See what it's all about.
Okay. I mean, after seeing that yesterday, I mean, come on, you had the Hitman tribute.
Yeah, and he even fought in a match. I didn't think he actually fought better than I thought he would.
Yeah, it was like he found a fountain of youth or something.
Yeah, because when you see him fight in, you know, like the one or two matches he's fought since he's returned. I mean, clearly, you know, because of, you know, he's 52 and he's had multiple concussions, you know, from, you know, a car accident where he had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he literally had to learn how to walk and talk again.
Yeah.
And plus, not to mention what ended his career was his last match in WCW with Goldberg, which Goldberg has been known to manhandle guys, you know. Literally, I mean, he's the anti Bret Hart when it comes to, like, you know, fighting, you know, with you know, technical abilities and not trying to, you know, hurt guys in the ring, because I mean, it is fake. I mean, you're supposed to, you know, sell the injuries as if the person's really getting hurt, but
yeah.
Goldberg, I mean, he really, really hurts people. You don't need to act.
He's unprofessional.
Goldberg hits you, I mean, that ain't acting. He really, really hurts you.
And he's not professional. I mean, the guy doesn't wrestle. He just manhandles people.
And Goldberg's matches ends like 2 minutes tops.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes not even 2 minutes, freaking like 30 seconds. Or
yeah,
something.
For real. I mean, Goldberg, I mean, he was a dominant guy, you know, back in his day.
He's unprofessional. You know?
Yeah.
He's not a wrestler.
Bret Hart, I mean, when he fights, it's a, you know, it's a classic.
Yes.
The guy, you know, and even yesterday when he, you know, he wasn't even, you know, he was nowhere near the way how he used to be. I mean, before the, you know, the accidents and.
Yeah.
But he put a decent match. I mean, it brought a nostalgic feel, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I mean, it was way better than his Vince McMahon match.
Oh, way better. Way better than that. I'm
telling you.
They say he showed signs of the Hitman.
Yeah. Also. Dude, if he had did a pile driver on one of the Nexus, I would have been surprised. Because I'm surprised he even did a headbutt with all the concussions and all the stuff he's went through.
Headbutt, elbow drop, backbreaker.
Yeah, I'm surprised he, because when he first was fighting those, like the match with The Miz and Vince earlier this year, you could clearly see, you know, he could hardly get, you know, like hit, you know, he can't take any trauma. That's
yeah.
Like you see people like hitting him in the body or pretty much blocks all the hits.
Yeah, I mean, the pile driver, that would have, if he had did that, that would have been nothing. I would have been really surprised if he had done the superplex off the top rope.
No, that would have been extreme.
I would have been surprised, you know, by that.
Well, you don't know what head trauma he could have took from doing a power driver. I mean, let alone receiving one, but even
yeah, but the power driver, that's more an opponent, you know.
Well, yeah, the opponent, I mean, would definitely feel it, but
yeah. But the superplex, that would be on him, you know.
Yeah. But that would be too much, I mean, for him to, you
that's
know.
Why I said I'd be surprised if he had done that yesterday.
Yeah. Dude, it was Bret Hart appreciation night, not Bret Hart obituary night. I mean, he kind of hurt himself.
Killing
him in the ring, I mean. Guy, he's done enough in the business.
Yeah.
You don't get a nickname, the best there was, the best there is, and the best there will ever be.
Yeah.
By being mediocre, so. It was a great tribute, and the other matches were pretty good. I mean, I didn't like the Dolph, you know, Dolph Ziggler, of course, he was being a heel.
That's a perfect.
Defending his, not defending his Intercontinental title.
Well, he's a wimp.
And I think, Kofi beat him with the boom boom kick at the Trouble in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think what else happened.
Tag team match.
The tag team match. Cody Rhodes, dashing Cody Rhodes versus, it was dashing Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre versus MVP and Chris Master, the masterpiece. It was a good match, but we all knew Bret Hart. I mean, not Bret Hart. I got Bret Hart appreciation night on my mind right here. But what was I gonna say? We both knew that Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre weren't gonna lose the title.
Yeah, it's too early.
They just won the title like literally a week from today.
Yeah.
So we knew that was and it wasn't even on a live show. So the odds of that happening was slim to none. MVP had a decent match. So they all fought pretty well.
Yeah, I mean MVP. At least he wasn't the one that got pinned. It was Chris Masters, right?
Yeah, I thought, but I did call Cody Rhodes was gonna do the Crossroads.
Oh yeah, you did call that, yeah.
But I thought it was gonna be our MVP instead of Chris Masters. And they really killed Chris. I mean, Chris Masters, I mean, when he first showed up in, like, around 04, this guy was, a major villain. I mean, people were thinking, hey, maybe this guy would be, maybe a heavyweight champion. Even though this guy, I mean, all he has pretty much is the master lock. I mean.
That's about, and that chest shaking thing that he does.
Yeah.
Chest bouncing thing.
Yeah, I'm assuming the female Cena fans are the only one that.
Yeah, I wasn't, and I think you said what's his name, Cody Rhodes was even doing it. I was like, what the hell? I'm glad I didn't see that, man.
I wish I didn't see that. All in all, was a good match, and that was the first time I actually saw Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes actually team up. I've seen them fight here and there on SmackDown a little bit, but I don't really pay that much attention.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're tag team. I mean, they both have this vain, conceited kind of feel to them. Cody Rhodes, this might be the first gimmick that actually suits Cody Rhodes, the whole, you know, dashing thing.
Yeah. Oh, you can remember. That stupid song.
Yeah, that's like his best gimmick since he first showed up when he was a good guy, you know, trying to defend his father.
Yeah.
Because that other gimmick with Legacy, it wasn't working, man.
Nah, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Maybe this might work. Who knows? We'll see. But the Crossroads, man, that move is fat.
It is. I have to admit, it is.
He got like, it's like he does like this, before he delivers it, he does like this, I don't know, like this pump fake kind of, it looks like he's going one way and then he reverses it in the other way.
Yeah, I mean, but the tag team thing, I mean, that I don't think that's going to last. I mean, WWE doesn't have that much tag teams.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you MVP and Chris Masters, I mean, teamed up. I mean,
yeah, that's an unlikely tag team right there.
Yeah, I'm like, Cody, Chris Masters, they're going to defend the title against Chris Masters. Who the heck are they going to fight? And then they play MVP's music. I'm like, what the heck? MVP's music, that's cool.
Hey, what happened to that other tag? Are they still on Raw, that other tag team that just came?
Which one?
The Hawaiian guys.
Oh, yeah. The talking about Rikishi's son.
Yeah, are they still there?
The Usos. Yeah, they're still there.
I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either, because they were having a feud with Hart Dynasty, you know, before Hart Dynasty lost to to Drew and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
But,
Usos.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still in WWE. I mean, but I think they're still on Raw, but I haven't really seen them that much.
I haven't.
I think what other match was there?
The Diva match.
Diva's match, see, you read my mind. You did that telepathy thing. Right?
Yep.
Yep, the Diva's match. I know nowadays, you know, people are, you know, killing it because, you know, the quality of, you know, the Divas wrestling, it's not like the Attitude Era where, you know, most of them could actually wrestle. You know? But, hey, it was very entertaining, I must say. For me, you know, Layla, you know, she stole the show right there.
Yeah. Layla, Michaela Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly.
Melina and her split.
Yep. And who else was there? Oh, yeah, Michelle McCool.
Oh, yeah, Michelle McCool. She's a little guy.
Yeah.
Again, remember, she's dating the Undertaker, so.
Yep. No, not dating. She's married to the Undertaker. She's
married to the Undertaker.
That's Kane's sister-in-law now.
Yeah.
Storyline purposes-wise, but.
Yeah.
Then again, they never, for some reason, they never acknowledge that in the Undertaker storyline. I guess it'll make Undertaker more human if.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. And plus, Michelle McCool is a villain, so I don't know. I guess it wouldn't really fit in the storyline.
I do like her outfits, though. It looks sexy on
them. Hey, they're cool. That's what they're called, Simply Flawless.
Yeah.
Because they look good in and outside of the ring.
Yeah, I like when they come out in those hoodies.
Yep.
And they do that spin like that.
Yeah. Dude, I like when Layla comes up. Especially the in-ring.
Yeah.
No pause.
Yeah, you wish you were closer so you could touch her boobs.
Yeah, right. It'd get bummed.
I think Hornswoggle got the opportunity yesterday, right? Didn't he? Well, actually, he got the chance to bite her butt or something.
Right, and then he Stone Cold Stunner'd, Michelle McCool after the match. After Layla lost. I think it was, who lost? I think it was Layla lost to Alina, I think.
Did they? I thought Michelle McCool and Hornswoggle interfered, right? He called them to
yeah.
lose.
Yeah, but remember when Hornswoggle interferes, it's like they don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Then he started chasing him around the ring or something.
Yeah, and then that's when he, you know, what's the name? Oh, yeah, they call in the middle, towards the end of the match, they were slapping. Layla was slapping the taste of Hornswoggle's mouth.
Right.
And then afterwards, Hornswoggle ran into the ring, and then that's when the that's when Laycool got clotheslined by Kelly Kelly and Melina.
Yeah.
And
he
then
stole from Michelle and bit Layla's butt.
But yeah, at the end of the match.
And Kelly Kelly and Melina to do like that little flip he does with one leg. A little bounce with one leg.
Oh, you talking about that like that Irish jig thing he does when they dance around, spin around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That little skip thing, you know.
Yeah. What else happened? Jack Swagger was against Mark Henry.
That was wacky.
Yeah, I think that was the wackest match of the night.
I like the song better than the match.
Yeah. But you got to give credit to Mark Henry, you know, for he did come out later, you know, at the end of the show, and he saluted the fans, you know.
Yeah, in the back of the garden where the wrestler's exit. Got to see him.
Yep.
And Kane.
Kane did show up.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kane saluted the fans or anything, but he looked like he was in, you know, I don't know. He looked like he was in character. I don't think he said hello to anybody. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. No.
I think he was staying in character. Unlike John Cena, the last time you went, and you said who was supposedly the face. He is the face of the WWE, and in every sense of the word. But he, you know, when the camera's rolling, you know, he acts like, you know, he's all, hey, this is for the people, you know, I love you guys and all that stuff like that.
I know.
WWE Universe. And then when the camera's rolling and his limousine was out, he's like, you guys.
Yeah. Doesn't acknowledge your fans at all. Son of a bitch.
Oh, man. I guess you can't see him. When the limo came out, you couldn't see him. But Justin, of course, wasn't there because, you know, this was a SmackDown, you know.
Yeah.
Only event.
But he's going to be on SmackDown, mostly on the sci-fi premiere.
Right. And it's live.
Yeah, live too, yep.
Which to me, I think SmackDown should always be live. Whether they move it to Tuesday where they tape the show. They should just have the show live. I mean, because, it's kind of like the Monday Night Wars when Bischoff is spoiling the events. So, you know, people on the web, you know, they spoil what's going on, what happened in the SmackDown event.
That's true.
And it's kind of hard for you, you know, not to find out, you know, unless if you don't go on, you know, any wrestling websites where people or message boards might spoil them what happened. Which leads to, you know, how I found out that Paul Bearer returned on SmackDown this Friday.
Yeah. Finally came back with that urn.
I have a feeling, you know, if that did happen, you know, that would be the only way maybe Undertaker would get his power. But it was great to see, you know, it actually happened. You know, Undertaker reunites with Paul Bearer, his manager he's had, you know, for most of his career, ever since he debuted in WWE in Survivor Series of 1990.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see him yesterday.
No, he didn't, yeah. Yeah,
it almost like he'd be there in a Hell in a Cell match, for the Hell in a Cell match.
Oh, yeah. That's why he's back. That's like the main reason why he's back.
Yeah.
That I would assume. And, they had the match. Well, I guess we, Friday they had the, Paul Bearer returned for people who didn't see Undertaker, Undertaker got his powers back, storyline purpose-wise. Kane looked, opened the coffin, and he saw Paul Bearer, Undertaker and Kane's former manager, and I guess sometimes like father or something, I don't know. It's like
yeah,
wrestling. I mean, it's like WWE is like soap opera for dudes.
I don't know what Paul Bearer is to them.
Yeah, I don't even know. Because back in the days, Edge and Christian used to be brothers. Now they're good friends. I mean, it's like they lose track of the storylines.
Weird.
Yeah. It's almost as bad as the writers for Superman Returns and X-Men 3. Bryan Singer, I'm talking about you, the guy who directed both movies. But Undertaker got his powers back, and he fought Kane,
mm-hmm.
and he's back. And then yesterday, at the main event, he fought 1-on-1 against his brother Kane in a New York street fight, and it was a good match.
Incredible chairs, you know.
Yeah, they were hitting. Undertaker was hitting Kane with a microphone. Kane was hitting him with a chair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it was awesome seeing Undertaker come out. You know, like one of those, you know, iconic, arguably the best entrance in WWE history.
Yeah.
And what you know after the you know the entrance, you know, people were staying on their feet. Undertaker came out. I mean. That was understandable. It was a cool entrance and all. But then, like, 10 minutes into the match, people were still standing up.
Yeah.
This is like WrestleMania 30.
I mean, it was for the Undertaker, man.
I mean,
can't get enough of him.
I mean, seriously, it was like, I mean, the entrance, I understand you want to stand up so you can get a better view. Because everybody was forced to do that because everybody kept standing up.
Yeah, I couldn't see.
Like some like the security people had to escort some people out because they were blocking people. But then it was like 10 to 15 minutes into the match and people are still standing up.
Yeah.
This dude looked like, I don't know, like a white Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he was blocking, he was standing like in front of me. That's all I didn't see. And then, you know, miraculously, you know, they finally sat down and, you know, everybody else was able to see the rest of the match.
It was a good match. Wasn't that great?
It was a good match. I didn't even know if the title was on the line or not until at the end of the match, Undertaker, Kane was going to choke Undertaker to give a choke slam, to do the choke slam, which is, you know, both of their finishing moves. It's, you know, people are listening and they don't know or care. But they both were going to choke slam each other, but then Kane, you know, was stronger and he lifted them up in the air and slammed them, you know, and beat them. And then the referee said that, you know, the winner and still the world heavyweight champion, Kane. But then that's when I figured out that, the title was on the line.
And Kane won. You know, Undertaker, unfortunately, didn't win.
Yep.
But I think Undertaker was gonna beat it. Tombstone him, but Kane rolled out of the ring.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the match, right, because Kane, after the match was over, Kane brought a chair out into the ring, and he was going to hit him with a chair. But then Undertaker kicked it in the chair into his face. And then Undertaker was going to tombstone him, like you said, but Kane rolled away and left.
Yeah.
And then Undertaker, you know, he stood in the ring and he did the pose, his Undertaker pose, when he kneels on one leg and he, you know, he sticks his, you know, his hands out to the, you know, to the sky. And then the you know, the whole arena turned black. And then that was pretty much the end of the show as Undertaker's funeral. I don't know what you would call it. You know, that classical funeral Music. I don't know how you, I mean, I don't know what, you know, it's a popular theme, but I don't know the name of the theme of it. As Undertaker's music players, that's pretty much how it ends.
Yeah, it was good to see him. I saw him before, so this is my second time seeing the Undertaker.
Yeah.
But this time it was even better because, you know, it was like people were just, like you said, they were standing up. You know, it was like watching a WrestleMania event or something.
Yeah, I mean, the way how people were acting, I mean, I know it's a big deal every time it comes to the Garden, but, you know, this was even a televised event, and the fans really got into it.
Yeah, they were into it the whole night, especially during the Bret Hart tribute. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Chanting,
well, yeah, that was, you know, understandable, you know, saying thank you, Owen, thank you, Brett, and I'm trying to think of, you know, other stuff they said. It was a good event. I mean, I know you grew up a Bret Hart fan, you know, I started following wrestling, you know, during the Attitude Era, 99, so... I mean, I you know, watching old footage and, I kind of have an idea of, you know, how great Bret Hart was, you know, what he meant to the, you know, to the organization and, you know, professional, you know, wrestling, you know, itself.
Earl's a man, you know.
So what was your take? I mean, him being your favorite wrestler, you know, all time.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, in the 90s, mid-90s, I mean, bro was a man. I'm like, he's like what, almost like how John Cena is to the WWE right now, but Bret Hart, I mean, he had more of an aura than John Cena did.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, watching, like, the Yankees play when Bret Hart wrestled. It's kind of like that feeling. I know you don't know how that feeling, you know, feels like, because, you know, you were for the Mets, but...
I'm not a cheap shot.
I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of like watching the Yankees when every time Bret Hart went in the ring, you know. It's kind of like he had an aura to him, almost like Hulk Hogan did during his era. So, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, John Cena, he's you know, the popular, well... You know, he is the face of the organization, but, you know, it's like so split on how many people like him and hate him. I mean, back in the old school days, I mean, Hulk Hogan was unanimous. Bret Hart, it was unanimous.
Yeah.
Most of the guys, I mean, were pretty much unanimous. Even going to Rock in Austin, I mean, when Rock is good, you know, everybody's cheering for him. Rocky. When he's bad, you know, it's like people have like this, it's like they still cheer, but then when he says something about their city, then they're like compelled to boo. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's like they want to cheer, but then they're forced to boo. It's like the characters back in the days, they were so great at playing with the fans' emotion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they played the fans like puppets. It's like, they play with your emotions. If they want you to cheer for them, you'll cheer for them.
Yeah.
They want you to boo for them, you'll boo for them. Cena, the way how they make Cena is like, you know, he's like this underdog guy, and, you know, he tries to play this underdog role, but he plays like the Yankees. I mean, it's like he tries to act like he's an underdog, but everybody knows he's going to win anyway, so it's kind of like, you know, he doesn't have – it's like it's pretty much boring because it's like we know you're going to win. Why are you acting like you're shocked that you won? I mean, at least have the swagger and know that you're dominant, you know?
I'm just tired of the, you know, John Cena and the character. You know, it's not the same character when he first started.
Yeah, the word life character, I mean, was pretty much his best gimmick. I mean, you know, he talked about what he wanted to talk about. You know, he wore jerseys. It was like he wasn't trying to impress people. He was just being himself.
Yeah.
And it
was like trying to be like Rock and Austin almost.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to be Rock and Austin and Hulk Hogan, roll into one. That's, I mean, pretty much what it is. I mean, they try to put that Ultimate Warrior, like, oh my gosh, he's coming into the ring, and, you know, the fans like him, and, you know, they try to put a little Hulkamania into him, but it's not working. I mean, it's all been done before. I mean, he needs to just come up with his own thing, and, you know, let him stay with it.
Now, don't get me wrong. The guy sells, merchandise.
Yeah, he does. He's
on top of every other WWE wrestler in merchandising sales, you know.
Yeah.
But, as far as the, like, followers, I mean, you know, a lot of followers are kids, of course.
Yeah.
And women.
And their moms.
Yeah.
That's pretty much his demographic. And now Orton is doing a great job at stealing away John Cena's fans, you know. You know, the fans that, you know, feel disenfranchised who pretty much, you know, they're too old, they're from the Attitude Era. You know, they know this is, you know, it's the Cena, this gimmick they're putting on Cena has been done before with Hogan. And, I mean, it's time for them to come up with something new. And hopefully the rumor that, that Cena is going to turn heel and join Nexus is true at Hell in the Cell, but, you know.
I mean, you've been seeing that for a while now. We have to see.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it.
Yeah. So until I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it.
Yep. And of course, you know, Jets are going to play at 8-something, the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Jets could pull out this win. Like they did against the Patriots, as our show ended last week.
Giants, they lost 29-10 or 13. I mean, Giants had chances today all day, made some stupid offensive line, made some personal fouls. Green McKenzie had like 2 personal fouls today. And they got in the red zone twice, turned the ball over. Matt Bradshaw fumbled on one possession in the end zone, in the red zone, I should say. And they had many opportunities, many dumb mistakes. And Chris Johnson, man, he ate them alive today, rushing-wise. I mean, they kept them contained for most of the game. But in the second half, man, he had his way with them. And they couldn't stop him.
Yeah, the defense definitely has to do a better job next time, rebounding from these losses.
Also needs to take a belt and spank these guys.
Of course. You know, from losing to the Colts and
lack of discipline.
But moving quickly to the moving switching gears quickly to the Nets. The rumor the 4-team trade is being held up right now by Carmelo, whether or not he's going to sign the extension to remain in New Jersey / Brooklyn. So what's your thoughts on that?
Want him to come to the Knicks?
I want to come to the Knicks too. Hopefully, this is test right here. Hopefully, you know, because Knicks are trying, you know, to get a deal done if Carmelo doesn't sign the extension. But it's gonna be hard for them to do. And I hope Carmelo don't sign it. And hopefully, he'll come to the Knicks.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Carmelo deserves a shot, man. Hopefully I'll see you guys next week. So long, everybody.